Well, good morning. It is really, really lovely to be here this morning. As Dave said, I was part of the team that was where we launched out here, and so it was pretty surreal actually driving out this morning. We used to do this every week. And I was like, the last time I was here, I was preaching, I was pregnant with our son Zach. So, and I look at him now, it's been a wee while. So it is lovely. It is genuinely really, really lovely to be out here. And I was just thinking this morning, I was like, man, actually, it is such a privilege. There are many of you that we have been in the trenches together, and there's a lot of memories and shared experiences and stuff, which is so awesome. But there's a lot of new faces here, which is so exciting, because otherwise I'd be like, team, what have you guys been doing? But it's, we might not know each other yet, but it's amazing because we prayed for you for many, many years. And I just think it's so special when you get to actually stand in the answered prayers and you get to see the faces and learn the names of, what God placed on your heart such a long time ago. So it genuinely is such a privilege. It's awesome. And so thank you so much for having me. Has been a while, so better do a bit of a life update, right? So I had the baby. I know some of you will be less than impressed that he is not out here with us this morning. So I did bring a photo. this was him the other week when he really decided that his sunglasses were just awesome. And so this was him inside eating afternoon tea, refusing to take his sunglasses off. But he's genuinely awesome. He's such a neat kid, and it's a real special season. Ben is doing well too. He is currently with his father down doing, pest control on a farm. So the boys have gone on a big bunny hunt, and he is having a whale of a time down there. On his bunny hunt, he's managed to get two deer for his hunting friends here. So I'm quite stoked with that. When he comes home with meat, that's great. But we went from here back into La Vida for a season. I was on maternity leave and then back at La Vida. And then we're actually at our QE2 campus now, working alongside the team there. And it is awesome. It's so cool, what God is doing in our church, right? And last week we cracked 100. We had our biggest week yet, which is really, really special. It's amazing. It's such an awesome, awesome space what God is doing over there. We had over 30 kids the other week, and when they started, there was one, literally one, and then the other week, over 30, it was utter chaos, but it was amazing. It was so, so awesome, and God is just doing some really neat things, just people making decisions for Jesus, some amazing healings, some awesome, awesome stuff. And the new youth facility that we have got over there is amazing. It is so needed within the local community. And on Friday nights, the team is just crazy what God is doing. And the young people that are coming along and hanging out in the space and the connections and the relationships is awesome. There is all the wonderful things that come with connecting with local young people in the community that, have got some stuff going on, and that's making Tim's life fun. But it's an awesome, awesome thing that's happening over there. So I encourage you, if you do want to make the trek across town to come visit one day, it's cool to see what is going over there. And I also just wanted to say a massive thank you. Last year, Ben and Zach and the team, we went to Laos. It was awesome. I know the team shared with you here about the experience, and it was so cool. And I know many of you were praying for us and praying for the team over there, and it is just so appreciative. And I just want to pass on their love and their thanks and how much they just continue to appreciate your ongoing support and the work that's happening over there. It's super, super awesome. So I think that's everything, all the life updates. All right, so we had an amazing couple of Easter services a few weekends ago, right? We had our Good Friday service out at QE2, and then we had our combined Sunday service at La Vida, and it was super special. And in amongst all of that, I was just blown away again by the power and the truth and the significance of Easter. You know, Ben and I were talking about how we make such a big deal about Christmas, but actually Easter is the bigger deal. And how, as a family, how can we develop some traditions that help to teach Zach about the significance of Easter and Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection? Right. You know, so it got me thinking a lot about the first Easter and what it must have been like in those first few weeks after Jesus rose from the dead. You know, so let's recap. From the disciples' perspective, Jesus has come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey and the crowds are honoring him and woo! And they thought that this was the triumphal king coming to take his place. And then he ends up before Pilate and is accused of blasphemy. He is whipped and he is beaten and then crucified. The disciples' world has been blown apart. And now they are scared and hiding away because they don't know what is going to happen to them now. You know, they're grieving because all that they thought Jesus was and all that they had seen and been learning about God just doesn't seem to make sense now. Then on the third day, the women go to the tomb, and in the morning they came running back, saying that someone has taken him. Some of the disciples take off running and find that indeed the stone has been rolled away, and his body is gone, but the material that he was wrapped up in is still there. Then angels show up in the tomb and go, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." And while Mary Magdalene is at the tomb, she turns around and sees and speaks to Jesus for herself. Jesus then starts showing up and spending time with people in locked rooms while they're scared and freaking out a bit. He appears and shows them his hands where the nails went in. He shows them his side where he was pierced. What a week, right? Eric, can we just put ourselves in this scenario for a minute? You know, can you imagine if we were scared when we gathered that the police were going to come in? So we've taken all our signage down around the place. You know, we started early this morning parking in different areas and coming in at different times, creeping across the field or in around areas so that no one could see us. And we didn't want to draw attention to ourselves. You know, the music isn't loud this morning, but it's super quiet. It's the week after Jesus has been crucified. And some of us have seen the empty tomb. Terry Lee's seen him already. But we don't believe her because it's just so out there. And we're like, man, she must have not had her glasses on. All the doors are locked. You know, Matt's down on the door at the back. And then all of a sudden, Nigel starts, "Oh my goodness, oh my goodness." And we turn and we look. And there is Jesus. And we see the holes in his hand. And we can see the hole in the side as he shows us. What do we do? The resurrection changed everything. If God is the only God who can, is the only one who can raise people from the dead, and you have been going around saying that you are God, and then you die, and you stay dead, you were not God. But if there is someone who claims to be God, and then is crucified, and is dead, and then shows back up in the room, raised from the dead, what he said was true. So what did he claim that was now proven to be true because of the resurrection? Well, here are a few. Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus claimed to fulfill scripture. Jesus claimed to come from heaven. Jesus claimed to be sinless. Jesus claimed to be able to forgive sin. Jesus claimed to be the only way to heaven. Jesus claimed to be able to give eternal life. Jesus claimed to be the Christ. You know, we don't have time to go into all of these this morning, but can I encourage you to have a look in the Pathway book and unpack some of those very claims for yourself? It gives some amazing descriptions and more info on that. Because Jesus was alive, these things were all true. And it changed everything. People's lives were changed because of it. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the other brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. The resurrection changed everything. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection changed people. He was the promised Messiah. In his life, death, and resurrection, he had fulfilled over 300 Old Testament prophecies. Here are a few of them that I'm going to run through. Numbers 24:17, he would be from the line of Jacob. Isaiah 11:1, he would be born from the family of Jesse. Jeremiah 23:5, he would be David's kingly heir. Micah 5:2, he would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 7:14, he would be immaculately conceived, born of a virgin. Psalm 72:10, he would be worshipped and given gifts at his birth. Jeremiah 31:15, a king would murder children in an attempt to kill Jesus. Isaiah 11:1, the Messiah would be called a Nazarene. Psalm 78:2, he would speak in parables. Zechariah 9, he would be called a king. Zechariah 11, he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and a potter's field would be bought with the money. Isaiah 53:7, he would be silent when accused. Isaiah 53:12, he would be killed by criminals. Isaiah 53, he would be a sacrifice for sin. Without the resurrection, we don't have Christianity. We don't have a savior, and we don't have good news. The resurrection changed everything. If he was just a good person or a great teacher or a charismatic political leader, they can leave a legacy, but you can still go to their grave. They don't get a resurrection from the dead and they can't restore a broken humanity to God. They don't show the great love that God has for people and his absolute sovereignty over creation. The empty tomb, it changed everything. He's alive. He's alive. Did you hear it? He's alive. If he was still dead, the disciples were going back to what they did before. But instead, they gave their lives to share this with others. This became something that they were willing to lay their lives down for, and many did. It changed them. It moved them. They became courageous where they had been fearful. They became confident where they doubted. They became compassionate where they had been callous, and generous where they had been self-seeking. And the church began to grow as more and more people had an encounter with Jesus or with someone who had had their lives changed by him. And it continues to this day, even now. I was just reading the other day the story of a woman in Nigeria. currently the sixth most dangerous place to currently be a Christian. She had recently lost her husband as he'd been killed by rebels who persecuted Christians. He had gone to a nearby village to help baptize some new believers. Amazingly, despite losing her husband, the father of her two-year-old son, who was killed because of his faithful obedience to Christ, she said she could never think of leaving Jesus. "He has done everything for me." She said, "When I am sick, he heals me. When I pray, he answers me. I see the evidence of all he does in my life. That is why I will not leave him." The significance of the empty tomb has the power to change us still. One of our global missions teams that we're partnered with encourage us to pray regularly with them for Jesus to reveal himself in dreams and visions to the unreached people group they are working among. And we've been praying at our prayer and worship nights for this. They recently sent us this message. One of the girls in our education project shared with us a dream she had recently. She was standing on the edge of a cliff and her friends were on the other side. She wanted to be with them, but there was no bridge to cross over. Then a man with a beard, long hair, and light brown skin came and told her that he could show her the way to a better life. She took his hand, and then her grandparents came and started beating the man, trying to stop her from going to him. The man said that he would not let her go, and she wanted to go with him. To us, it seems like she met Jesus in a dream, but he did not reveal his name to her. Exciting as this dream is, we feel that it is better to pray and wait until Jesus reveals himself by name to her. Isn't that amazing? We have people in our church that is their testimony, that they too have come from places where it is incredibly dangerous to follow Jesus, but he has spoken to them in a dream and revealed himself by name, and they have given their lives to following him. It's incredible. A risen Jesus calls us and reconciles our relationship to the Father. Right. It's amazing. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. The tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. And then there is Thomas. If we read in John 20, verse 24. "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" This amazes me every time I read it. Firstly, all the others are there. And you're the guy that comes back. And they are losing their minds at this point, right? And you walk into the room and you go, "Something has happened. Guys, what has happened? What is going on? What has happened?" And he missed it. We've all been that person, right? Where you walk into the room just after something has happened and you have missed it. And it sucks. If there was a moment not to miss it, this was it. He missed it. But then, what gets me? The others, can you just imagine? Can you just imagine their reaction? He is alive. They have seen him. They have talked to him. They have seen the scars. And for a whole week, being with them, eating with them, everything that's going on with them, he's still like, "You guys, I just don't know. You know, I would just love to sit there with him. and go, what was that week like? What was that like for you? I think, though, that we can all be a bit like Thomas. Yes, the doubts. I think lots of us can relate to that on different levels, right? But also the feeling of if I was there when it happened, it would have been different for me. If I hadn't been so focused on doing this, then I could have been there for that. I could have seen that. I could have been in the room and I could have been part of it. Why did I have to be doing that then when I could have been there? If I could have. God, why do I have to do this when everyone else gets to go and do that? That season, I think, can take many forms. Sickness, parenting, caring for others, seasons of disobedience. But what we learn from Jesus and Thomas is that a risen Jesus can show up in any room. Even when we think we've missed it. And now that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, even more so. Team, would you come back up, please? Thomas went on to give his life faithfully to following Jesus. Many of the churches throughout the Middle East and through India are credited to his faithfulness and his willingness to follow Jesus and share what Jesus had done in his life with others. You know, you could be here in this room or joining with us online, and you might feel like you missed the first opportunity, or maybe even a few. But Jesus is faithful to keep showing up. And you don't need to miss the next opportunity to encounter him. Even though Thomas missed it, the truth was the tomb was still empty and Jesus was still resurrected. You know, he has the ability to bring healing to times or seasons where we've missed it. And isn't that good news? You know, would you stand up and join with me this morning? I want to pray for a few things this morning. And if it speaks to you, I just encourage you to engage with this. You know, I want to pray for those this morning that feel like they've missed opportunities. And those that feel like they were late to the party. And I want to pray for all of us that we will have a deep revelation of Jesus and the resurrection. So just with every eye closed across this place, if you feel like you're carrying the pain of missed opportunities, I'd love to pray for you. Holy Spirit, God, we thank you for the sovereignty of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the empty tomb. Lord, I just want to pray for those right now that feel like there were opportunities to encounter you or follow you or share you or be in the room where you were. Holy Spirit, I pray right now you will just touch them afresh. Holy Spirit, I pray as there is this surrender in their heart, that you will do what only you can do. And Lord, that their life will be like Thomas, where for the rest of their days, they will walk with you. They will follow you. They will live in obedience to you. Lord, that there will be a deep and beautiful relationship, and that their lives will testify just as Thomas's did to the truth of who you are. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And God, we just pray that we will all have a deep revelation of who you are and what you did and how it changes lives. Lord, let us never take it for granted. But Jesus, let us be forever thankful. Lord, we want our lives to glorify you. We want our lives to speak of what you have done. So Jesus, we just make ourselves available. We just surrender again. Say, Lord, we are here. We are available. Lord, will you speak to us? Will you lead us? Will you guide us? Will you use us? Lord, so that your kingdom might come and your will be done. In the name of Jesus, amen.